Weora was fond of the planet Earth and once said, "I have often tried to describe to my family and friends the grandeur of your planet. But your mountains and your seas are indescribable. They have to be seen and be experienced personally. My stay on Earth was truly wonderful. Ever since then, my great ambition has been to patrol your solar system." In most of the radio transmissions, there were personal messages for the individual members of Cubase. In 1967, Weora wished everyone a happy Christmas and then said, "I have a message from my crew. They ask, would it be possible for you to save them each a piece of Christmas cake? My friends, I doubt very much if they could identify a piece of Christmas cake, even if they saw it." 1968 turned out to be a good year, with radio transmissions arriving at least once a month. Although there was no regular pattern, many transmissions came through on a Sunday morning when Edwin's group gathered together many a time. Edwin was alerted during the week in the evening, and there were occasions when a transmission came through in the early hours of the morning, even at 1:30 a.m. Weora and Voldar were the principal speakers, although there were others from Weora 5 team including Mank Tun, Kashendo, and Zibo. Early that year, Weora told of the history of the Confederation visits to our planet during the 20th century. Although the Grandorians first landed on Earth during the building of the pyramids in Egypt, it was only in 1927 that the Confederation decided to form a regular space patrol for our solar system. The main purpose of the patrol was to plot, record and eliminate the large meteorites which entered the magnetic fields about our planet. Meteorites are a menace to magnetically propelled spacecraft. The range of the patrol was from the outer fringes of our solar system to 335 miles, 536 kilometers, above the surface of Earth. It was not intended that these meteor patrol craft should enter the Earth's atmosphere. Other scout craft were used to land and collect samples or specimens, or to perform special functions such as landing missionaries or learner pilots for their training periods. This astral patrol was well established by 1941. Weora also mentioned the occasions when Edwin was involved with the landing of astral scout craft. There was the time at Patterson's Groin, when Edwin became convinced of the real identity of his friend and the reality of the extraterrestrial spacecraft. There was also the time when Voldar was picked up to go home at the end of his Earth familiarization program. Weora said, "It was arranged that I should pick him up at 10 o'clock at a certain spot on the beach. I landed a ship directly in front of them. We had a scheduled rendezvous with a patrol craft, so we could not delay." Voldar completed his tests and was accepted as an astral pilot. "He then joined my division of patrol craft and is now one of my best pilots." During a routine radio transmission in the middle of that year, Weora brought the news that Voldar had been promoted. He was to take charge of a division of astral craft assigned to the solar system of Pyrol. His assistant was Mank Tun, who would be left in charge when Voldar returned to Koldus for his rest periods. Weora would continue to command the patrol to Earth's solar system. During this transmission, he was able to relay a short message from Voldar, who said, "I am overjoyed to be able to make contact with you at Cubase again. I overheard Weora telling you of my promotion. I am honored to have been given this position with my good friend Mank Tun. I shall miss your solar system very much. We have grown very fond of your planet. We will not be able to transmit to you as frequently as before, but when it is possible we will do so. I will now return you to Weora, so, for the present, we wish you the best of health until we can transmit again." Weora concluded by saying that in 4 days, at 9 p.m. local time, there would be a special transmission from the inauguration ceremony of the first broadcast from the new artificial satellite of the Pyrolian solar system. A Pyrolian official would activate the master switch to put the satellite in operation. There would be a short thanks to Koldus and the Confederation for making the artificial satellite possible. Pyrol and its solar system is situated in the same universe as the planets and systems of the Confederation. Its inhabitants have human characteristics and features. The average male is 1.65 meters tall, with a well-developed body, dark brown hair, brown eyes and deeply tanned skin, and the women are generally slim with average height of 1.50 meters and wear their hair long. They have attractive features by Earth's standards. Pyrolians are quiet-spoken people who love sport and the outdoor life. Pyrol is the principal planet in their system and is about the size of Venus. Like Venus, it has a continuous layer of cloud hiding the surface features. There are 12 major cities, with Grenova, meaning island, as the capital. This is aptly named as it is surrounded by impenetrable marshlands. To the north and west, as one flies over the region, one sees what appears to be grasslands, but these are really swamps covered with green algae. To the south are giant trees, towering to 112 meters, with a tangled mass of evergreen swamp underneath. This marshy jungle ends about 10 kilometers further south in a range of mountains, with two active volcanoes. To the east, there is very little marsh and jungle. Here lie the rich mineral deposits of Pyrol, in a low-lying plateau skirted by hills. Due to the marshy conditions on Pyrol, there are very few road networks. Instead, there is an extensive air transport system which links the major cities, towns and villages. The rulers and government officials of Pyrol had responded favorably to visits by Koldejanas trial craft when the planet was surveyed. These visits took place for several decades, ending in 1968. The earlier, friendly advances by the Koldejans had culminated in the establishment of friendship and trade agreements. Pyrol invited a Koldejan official to make a goodwill visit to their planet, and he was cordially received at a ceremony organized by Pyrolian officials. On this occasion, the Koldejan asked the Pyrolians to accept a gift of 150 Asral craft in return for the friendship they had shown Kolders. The Pyrolians were overjoyed at this generous gesture, which had far-reaching benefits for all. These Astral craft would replace the Pyrolian spacecraft, which were jet and rocket-propelled and not capable of long-distance interplanetary space flight. This opened a new way of life for the Pyrolians. They would now be able to share in the benefits that came with a Confederation civilization. The first task tackled by the Confederation was the construction and launching of the artificial satellite, as well as a complete survey and mapping of the magnetic fields. The satellite was needed for the astral craft to home in on, and for two-way radio and thought communication between Pyrol and the Confederation. It was to be named Grenova, an island in space, and officially opened with a ceremony by superiors of Pyrol. Groups of Pyrolian scientists, engineers, and technicians were taken to Kolders for training. The technicians and scientists went to assembly plants where the astral craft were designed and constructed. There they learned the skills of the technologies involved. Others were trained as pilots so they could take new ships back to Pyrol. Wiora introduced a poignant note when he concluded the story as he said, "While I am sitting here talking to you, I am gazing down at your beautiful planet. And I am wondering to myself, why are the Earth people so different? When I spent 2 years there, I encountered many ideas that you have about people of space and life on other planets. The majority of your people seem to believe that Earth is the only inhabited planet in the heavens. My friends, when the Almighty created your planet, he did not stop there, he created other planets too. Not only Earth was endowed with life, but he created life on many of his worlds and also gave them intelligence. Then there are people who believe that inhabitants from other planets have hideous and deformed features, wishing only to do harm to you. We too have been created in the same image and likeness. But the strangest belief I encountered was that space beings are spirits and do not exist in the flesh, that these spirits can walk through doors and walls and cannot die. We have bodies of flesh and blood, we are mortals. We also feel pain and sorrow and happiness. All the solar systems that my ancestors have visited, and those which I have traveled to, have inhabitants like us, of flesh and blood." Wiora continued wistfully, "If only your governments would unite in peace and extend the invitation, your skies would ring with the hum of magnetic motors. All our knowledge would be yours. All that we have achieved over the centuries would be given you freely. But unfortunately, your rulers cannot agree. They tell us many things, why they cannot accept us. But it all boils down to the fact that it would bring too many changes on Earth and that it would disturb the balance of things. Then he said apologetically, "Forgive me, my good friends, if my words sound harsh, but I have often wondered about Earth and her people. Let us hope that one day your rulers will change their minds." Chapter 3, Melka, Earth's Halfway Station. We continue this narrative through the words of the unique radio communications received directly from the extraterrestrial cosmonauts who had made the acquaintance of F. Edwin W. of the Durban area of South Africa. Sometimes these dictations ranged into subjects beyond the knowledge of the witness and discussed events unknown to him at the time. We continue. I would like to explain one of the mysteries that has puzzled your astronomers for some time. It is the so-called missing planet in your solar system. These words came from Edwin's loudspeaker one Sunday morning when the Q group were assembled in a lounge at his home. The speaker was Weora, who in his characteristic melodious voice continued to say, "A number of Earth years ago, astronomers on Earth observed what they thought to be another planet in your solar system. It could not be seen regularly because it was obscured by the sun. Later, it was no longer visible. What had happened to the missing planet? Some astronomers claimed that it had destroyed itself, while others said that there was no such planet. What they had seen was a large artificial satellite. It was the first of its kind which had been specially built to guide our early craft to your solar system. It was constructed and assembled in the days of the ancient Egyptians and was given the name Valsoon, meaning place of rest. When the astral craft replied the obsolete craft in 1941, it was decided to replace Valsoon with a larger satellite and place it beyond the perimeter of your solar system. When this was completed," Weora continued, "Valsoon was dismantled, section by section, and taken back to Calder's. The new artificial satellite was much larger and has updated guiding and tracking equipment. It can accommodate a greater number of craft which stop over there on journeys to other solar systems. It is called Melka, which means halfway station." When the cold Asian technicians dismantled Valsoon, continued Weora, "your astronomers lost sight of it. The sun's rays reflected from Valsoon gave the impression that it was a planet. This explanation may solve the mystery of the missing planet. The new artificial satellite Melka cannot be seen from Earth because of the distance and other natural phenomena obscuring it. Radio signals from Melka have been detected on Earth, but these are only homing signals to guide and direct the spacecraft." One of Weora's pilots, Cash Hendo, who had also trained on Earth, became the commander of Melka. He had undertaken Earth familiarization in Australia and took U bases. He became known as the voice of Melka. He described his space station as a small planet several miles in diameter, which was like a miniature world. Miles diameter spacecraft. Remember, this transmission took place in 1968 when there was little law on giant spacecraft. Since 1975, several reports of miles diameter spherical and miles long blimp-shaped ships have been encountered. There is no evidence that Edwin had heard of these because all, like Edwin, were keeping big things secret for years within local groups. It had many levels with large observation windows all around. There was also an observation dome where most of the instruments were located. There are airlocks with doors or gates, so that visiting craft can enter. It is an oasis in space. Above the main airlock is an inscription in Cold Asian, saying "Welcome to all." "This artificial satellite is visited by wanderers in space," said Cash Hendo.